Welcome to Vital Connections On Air, a podcast brought to you by University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality that explores the trends and topics important to communities and leaders throughout Minnesota. My name is Christy Kalavig, and I am an Extension Educator with the Center for Community Vitality. And for today's episode, I am joined by Ryan Pesch, Extension Educator in Community Economics for University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality, as well as Scott Formo, who is the Executive Director of the Lakes Area Chamber of Commerce, as well as the Mayor of the City of Glenwood. Welcome to you both, and thank you for joining us for Vital Connections On Air.
Thank you, Christy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to be here.
And today we're going to continue our discussion of workforce challenges and focus on the topic of housing. But before we get into that, Scott, I'd love for you to share with our listeners exactly where Glenwood and Pope County are located.
Pope County is in west central Minnesota. We're about halfway between the Twin Cities and Fargo, North Dakota, and we are just 15 miles south of Alexandria, which is on Interstate 94. Lake Minnewaska is the 13th largest lake in the state, which the cities of Glenwood, Starbuck, and Long Beach all reside around. And so Glenwood itself is on the eastern shores of Lake Minnewaska, and we are also the county seat, the largest county or the largest city in the county with a population of approximately 2,500. The overall population of Pope County itself is right around that 11,000 mark, based off the last census, I believe.
What are kind of the main industries of the area? I'm guessing tourism must be part of it with beautiful Lake Minnewaska right there.
Tourism is a big portion of it. We also have a lot of industry and manufacturing in the area. Some of our other larger employers in the area, we are national headquarters for American Solutions for Business. Obviously, the county and the city have a number of employees, but also we do have healthcare, retirement living, the school district. A number of those are some of our larger employers in the area. And then, you know, we have some retail and other services and stuff too. But, you know, with regard to the bigger industries, I guess one that I was forgetting in there also, in addition to tourism, is agriculture. We're a pretty big agricultural community also.
And it's just a beautiful area. I'm fortunate to be a neighbor to Pope County, and I get to visit Glenwood often, and I'm really glad that you're able to join us today. And Ryan, as we shift this conversation into housing, folks that listen to the podcast have maybe been able to hear the discussions that we've had with our state economist, and we've looked at manufacturing and childcare, and today we're going to dig into this concept of housing. But I am guessing that some people might be laughing or maybe rolling their eyes or even looking out their windows at the number of for sale signs that they drive by, thinking, really, housing is an issue? Can you tell us why we're talking about housing or why we should be talking about housing?
Yeah, I mean, in my area where I work in west central Minnesota, I mean, I think housing is a really important piece of the kind of the workforce development puzzle, if you will. It comes up again and again. I mean, yeah, you might see some housing stock on the market, but when we're talking about workforce housing, we're talking about a particular slice of housing. Here in Lakes Country, I know it's something that came up through the study. I certainly see it here in Otter Tail County. We have a lot of, say, lake homes going up, but that doesn't necessarily mesh well the income generating potential of somebody who's working at manufacturing or doing a service job. There's just this little bit of a mismatch. And so what we hear time and time again, we hear from employers, we hear from community leaders that are trying to deal with, you know, keeping and retaining a workforce, is that, hey, how can we get somebody here if they can't find housing here that currently meets their needs and they can afford? So if we're looking for, if we all have this shortage of employees, it's very difficult to get them and retain them in a community without housing that they can afford.
And so we're not talking just necessarily about housing for people with limited incomes or what people might refer to as housing assistance, but we're talking about that housing that is available and accessible to people who are maybe starting their first jobs, are mid-level managers, that type of housing. Is that correct?
Yeah, we are talking about market rate housing. I don't think we're talking about Section 8 and the like. We are talking about people that are, you know, working poor, or they are working, or even young professionals that are coming new into a community and may not have some of those relationships that lands them a house. overall, we just see low housing stock, right? So you might, you know, we heard about this, we did a BRE in Monaga. There, you know, the question was, you know, we get a lot of teachers that are just starting their career, right? So these are folks that have a BA, I mean, they're unable to afford, you know, some executive mansion starting out their career, and they're just looking for some basic housing to buy, or particularly to rent. I think rental housing, I think as we heard here, and we hear in a lot of other communities, is even more of an acute shortage than things that are up for purchase.
And so this isn't just simply an issue of supply and demand. There's more factors that are going into this. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, there's an issue of supply and demand, but there's a lot of markets that are at play, if you will, that sort of make it kind of a sticky situation. You know, housing market is, you know, like any market, it isn't just all black and white. You know, sometimes we try to do these things on an Excel sheet just to try to explain some things. But like with this project and others that we worked at in Pope County, there's a lot of factors at play. Zoning has an impact. You know, housing standards and ordinances have an impact. You know, the market that builders work in and their own labor costs have an impact. So when you throw these all into this mix, it's a little difficult to tease apart exactly what's causing the issue. But without a doubt, not just in Pope County, but across my wider region, we certainly hear about it across the state, it is an issue just in terms of a mismatch of jobs and housing. You know, and we certainly saw that in Pope County project as well.
And so when you are looking or are working in communities where there are these issues, how do you see the challenges with housing impacting the overall economic picture of the community as well as their vitality?
Well, I think when it comes to workforce housing, the major issue is you might have somebody that's commuting in for a job, but ideally, you want to be able to retain that person and make them kind of a full citizen of the place, right? So if somebody's commuting into Glenwood, they might be doing a little bit of shopping in town and so forth. That has an economic impact. But, you know, it's quite a bit different when somebody makes Glenwood their home as opposed to a place where they just work. Not only are they sort of not only do you have that economic impact as dollars and cents calculation about people spending, and I would assume that would certainly go up, but you also have them as more a bigger contributing member of everything from local service clubs to getting involved in school and bringing their own kids to the school. All these things have an overall impact on kind of the vitality of the community, without a doubt.
So definitely a house doesn't just impact one employer. It affects all of Main Street and the entire community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Scott, any of the stuff that Ryan is saying, does it resonate with what you see in Glenwood?
Yeah, I think that it does. For the most part, we've got a group that's been meeting here in Polk County that went through some strategic planning called Positively Polk County. And that group itself has been meeting off and on, both with facilitating that group and as well as some of the work I've done with the chamber. One of the issues that we ran into was we had a number of employers in the area that identified the need for workforce housing, saying that they were trying to recruit and retain employees, and there wasn't enough available housing to be able to keep the employees in the area. They're either having to live outside of the area and commute, or they're not able to take jobs. So with that being said, we talked about a number of different ways to try to address it, but I think what the group came up with was, before we actually got into finding ways to actually address it and create more housing, it was we need to go through and do some type of study that would tell us exactly what do we have here, what opportunities are available, and what is the wants and desires of both employers and employees, which is where we started working with Ryan and the Center for Small Towns on putting that report together. So there was a number of different things, as Ryan pointed out, that were addressed as part of that report. Here in Glenwood, for example, we have a number of homes that came into play that we've been a large retirement community for quite a while, and I know that some of our retirement living, Ridgewood Villa, one of our assisted living facilities, just recently expanded and practically doubled their size, which now has created some opportunities for people to move, some of the retired people to move out of their homes that they've been in for many years and move in there. But because they've been in the homes for a number of years, that's where Ryan's comment about the quality of the homes are come into play with regards to, what's available. What we were finding is, or what we were hearing, is that either from people who, one of the programs we have through the Chamber and Welcome Center here too is called Welcome Glenwood. And what we do is it's kind of the welcome wagon in town, and we make sure that we do a personal visit with everybody who's new to the area, and that involves everyone in the entire community. But some of the things we were hearing from people who were new to the area was that they were having a hard time finding both rental housing or homes to live in, saying that, they're coming here to try to find a new job, but either the homes that they were looking to buy needed a lot more work than what they wanted to put into it, or they were too expensive for them to be able to afford as a starter home and just starting new jobs in the area. So, again, that's kind of why we engaged the Center for Small Towns and Ryan to kind of look at where are we at and then where can we go, knowing that it wasn't a comprehensive study of everything that was needed, but to at least give us some basics to try to work with developers and give us something to go off of to say, we do show a need for housing here, and it's now verified by this data that was Ryan and Center for Small Towns was able to collect.
So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about what the study looked like and how you engaged people to become involved in it?
The big thing with this is something that we hear in a lot of other communities is that, people are having to drive into work, right? So all these people are currently driving into work. Of course, they just want to live here. And so I think one thing that I think was really good about this study is, as opposed to just saying, okay, we know X number of people are working here and X number of people don't live here, it's just simple math. That's how many housing units we need. It's a little more complicated than that. I think the good thing that we did here is we said, okay, there's a lot of complicating factors that come into play that would cause somebody and their household to move from city A to city B. And so as opposed to just saying we have X number of employees here, let's go and ask the employees themselves, where are they currently renting? Are they buying? Do they want to live in Pope County? If so, what is their current rental rate? What is their current mortgage payment? So we get some kind of sense about who they are as potential housing customers, if you will. And so what we did is we worked through the 10, I think it's the 10 largest employers, right, Scott?
I believe so, yep.
I know, sir. Yep. And we worked through their HR directors in order to make contact directly with their employees. And we kicked it off by asking the employers themselves. We had a little listening session, and certainly they said, yeah, this is an issue. And so we said, okay, we've heard this from you. Let's go to your employees. And we did a survey of amongst those 10 employees, there's 1,700 workers that are in Pope County. Some of them live in Pope County, some of them live outside of the county. And so we asked them about where they currently live and all these other factors as a mailed survey. We also did it online if that was easier for them. And so we were able to get some sense about their preferences and kind of their future plans as owners or renters.
But you didn't stop there. You also did focus groups, correct?
Yeah, we did a couple focus groups. We really wanted to get in the room some of those folks that say had a job in Pope County, but were unable to find housing. Yeah, we did have two focus groups with those workers who were looking for housing or had some ideas about housing or their challenges in finding housing in Polk County. And so that kind of helped round out what we got in terms of the data.
And what were the results? What did you gather from the study?
You know, one thing I take away is not everybody who's working in Polk County, who lives outside the county, has a desire to move to Polk County, right? And I just think that's emblematic of just kind of where we are at life. There's a lot of people that are traveling 30, 60 miles, 50 miles for work, but maybe their spouse or their children are more tied to another community or their spouse commutes another direction. And so there's some things that really kind of stick people in a place. So there's certainly a portion of both renters and owners that are looking to transition to Polk County, that work in Polk County. One finding related to that is that it's clear that renters were more motivated to move to Polk County than owners. And that kind of makes some sense, right? If you're an owner of a home in another community or you're outside of the county, you're a little more tied to that given place. You're more likely to say, you know, I work there, this is good, but I'm really not looking to transition there. You know, the stats where it broke down 65% of those renters that worked in Polk County but live elsewhere were looking to move to Polk County. And some portion of them, not a large portion, we did ask them about whether their current housing met their needs. So for example, you can imagine that, you know, somebody was recently married and they had a smaller home that they rented or owned, and they just added two children in the last 2 years or something like that, right? And, you know, they're really at the place where their housing doesn't meet their needs. So some portion of those are highly motivated to move. So 65% of those renters were looking to move to Polk County, and 27% of owners were looking to move to Polk County. And
so when you are looking at this data, did age factor into it at all, or number of years on the job?
Yeah, it certainly did. Since we asked people about their demographics, when we looked at those that were looking to transition housing into Polk County, or they're looking to transition their housing, they had a desire to move to Polk County, they were more likely younger, and they're more likely renters. Were two major things. We had a few other factors we cut out, but we're certainly talking about people that are more at the beginning of their career than towards the end of the career, which also makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, those later in their career were more likely to own and had less of the desire to move. Well, that makes sense, right? So. But I think putting the numbers to it, I think, was an important finding, because I think it's an important approach, because I think it would, you know, going back to my original point, I think it would have been pretty easy just to say, hey, you know, there's, you know, 400 workers that are living outside the county. Hey, we need something like 300 units. Well, not so fast, right? That's a big investment, and so let's try to sort this out as best we can. And these are people's lives, right? And so it's a little bit squishy, right? If I ask you, Christy, like, well, what's your willingness to, you know, what are you currently paying? What are your willingness to move and all these kinds of things? There's a lot of factors that come into play. So it's a little complicated in that respect. But
in addition to that, I mean, definitely the cost, size, and amenities piece were things that were important to people. But some of the other things that, you know, we did learn through that study, though, too, is, you know, one of the questions on there was, what's important to them in choosing where they're going to live? You know, is it recreation? Is it family? Is it services and shopping? You know, is it cost, size, amenities, renting versus owning? You know, that kind of stuff. But one of the things that, you know, we found also, and we kind of knew this going into it, was a large portion of Polk County, because it is a lake community and because there is so many lakes in the area, there's a lot of seasonal housing here. So a lot of the housing around the area is tied up where, you know, people will live here during the summer or use it as vacation homes or second homes, which limits the amount of year-round housing that's available also, because a lot of them are gone for the winters, or you know, they just live elsewhere and this is just more of a vacation recreational home for them. But there's a lot of those in Polk County, and I think that was another factor that came into play with you know, both what's available and what's the need, but also you know, it's one of those other factors that weighs in when it comes to you know, what's important to people.
And I know that definitely came out in those focus groups, right, Scott? I mean, it gets at a point, Chris, we were talking about, is that there are multiple markets at play. So one thing that came out is, you know, what is the incentive for a builder to build very basic housing, right? Because there's truly a gap in terms of, like, just basic rental. And, you know, a lot of people are saying housing between, you know, a house to buy between $125,000 and $250,000. So there's incentives in terms of what's being built. So this is something I see in Otter Tail County. It seems like we're hearing about it in Polk County. This notion, like, as a builder, you can build a few very nice places on a lake for a lot more than that are going to sell for a lot more than $250,000. And I could be just as profitable, if not more profitable, than trying to build more basic housing at a lower price point. And so, and if you're able to do that, and that's what the market's looking for, well, it's kind of hard to make your life more difficult just in order to meet this other need, right? And so that makes sense. It makes sense from the point of view of the builder, but it definitely doesn't help our situation in terms of not low income, but basic, affordable, let's call it middle class housing or working class housing, to meet the need of the people that are working in Polk County.
How have you seen this study shared or used since it was completed, or any actions that you've seen taken, Scott?
I know that with regard to the study itself, we've shared it both with you know, the Glenwood City Commission and the Polk County HRA and the Polk County Board of Commissioners have all seen the study or have access to it. I know that the Polk County HRA has utilized that study to attract some developers to the area to look at housing, and we do have a number of housing units and stuff that have gone up since this study came out. You know, one of them is a partnership that the City of Glenwood has with the Polk County HRA. The Polk County HRA has had land that they had purchased several years back that's adjacent to Highway 55 and up on the hill, but inside of the city limits. And so the city went through and worked to worked with the developer and worked with the county HRA to, first of all, do some abatement issues up there, but also to apply for housing grant through deed for workforce housing. And we were successful in being, from a city standpoint, being able to get a grant through deed for the workforce housing development. And so what that did is now there's an apartment complex that's going in on top of the hill. I believe there's 32 units in there, 1, 2, and 3 bedroom units with garages, playground, that kind of stuff. The developer currently has, I believe, right of first refusal on the next adjacent property over, which the HRA also has, knowing that if the housing complex starts to fill up on a, you know, on a good time frame with him, that he's interested in doing a second complex up there and expanding that complex. The City of Glenwood, what we did when we applied for that deed grant, which this study was actually used as part of that application, was to get a grant for the infrastructure so that there was the land that the HRA had available and where they were looking to put this apartment complex was in the middle of an area that didn't have a road getting to it. So we needed to put a city street in. We needed to get the utilities from, you know, the edge of town into the center of the property where this complex was going to be. so, you know, with regard to that, you know, that deed grant saved the city and the developer substantial dollars with regard to being able to move forward with that development, which definitely helped entice the developer to do it. Now, I also know that the county HRA has used that study, and they've done additional studies over in the city of Starbuck, and they have just completed another housing development in the city of Villard. Where there's a smaller one over there. I believe it's a smaller group of townhomes. But they're looking at some additional units here too with regard to the other land they have available here in Glenwood. And they've also worked with the City of Lowry with their HRA and EDA over there, and the City of Cyrus for some potential developments in the future there too. So I do know that they're utilizing that that study to you know, attract developers and get the interest of developers that are willing to come in and take a look at things and see what do we have available, what's still the need, what's happened since then. In addition to that, the HRA is in the process right now in partnership with the City of Glenwood in doing a comprehensive housing study with regard to the entire county, getting more into details of what a larger study would be, which we haven't had done since before the economic downturn. That they had one done prior to that, and I think that's kind of where we started small with a smaller scale study, one, to get a perspective of do we have enough here to build from, and getting that the foundation in place for that with Ryan and the Center for Small Towns. But then at the same time, you know, there was a need to turn around and look more at that comprehensive study, which is going to look, you know, not just at the workforce housing, which is where Ryan's study came into play, but also look at retirement living, look at low income or, you know, Section 8 type housing, looking at recreational housing, you know, all the different aspects of different things that come into play with the larger studies. And they're in the process right now of working through and having that study done too. So it definitely did lay a good foundation for moving forward, and both for applying for funding through DEED as well as, you know, spring more growth in the area, and at least knowing that we're doing something, not just talking about a need for housing anymore, but there's actually things being done.
Well, and it sounds as though you've just been very strategic in how each piece has kind of built upon the previous one.
I think that was kind of the basis for why we started where we did. You know, being able to go from there, I do think that we've taken several steps since then to address a number of the issues. I mean, there's still other things going on too, but we wanted to make sure that we got ahead of, you know, some of the other larger projects and stuff that are coming into the area. Cities of Glenwood and Starbuck are undergoing some complete streets projects and some different things like that too. Both, you know, as well as, you know, not just filling the current jobs that are available here. Our hospital just expanded and is adding on a number of jobs and stuff there too. And there's a lot of growth and expansion within our current industries, but then we're also always looking to retract and retain new businesses to the area too. So all of these things do come into play when it comes to long-term strategic planning. But again, like you stated, you need to have a foundation, something to base it off of, and then from there you just continue to grow and expand out.
Have you heard anything from the businesses that initially brought this concern forward as far as how, if they're seeing any changes in their recruitment efforts of new employees or retaining their employees because of some of these housing developments that have maybe come from the study?
We've heard a little bit there, and we've actually started some additional programs too to help work with our local employers too, such as, you know, becoming the first county in the state to be certified as an ACT work ready community, and offering the National Career Readiness Certificates and that kind of stuff. So a number of other programs have been built off of that initial request for housing. Some of the comments that I have heard is that well, the apartment complex on top of the hill isn't scheduled to open until next spring, but I know here at the Chamber, we get at least, you know, I would say on average 5 to 10 calls a month asking when they're going to be open and when we're going to have the contact information available, because they have people that are there looking to move to the community and they're interested. So we've already started working on some of those lists and working with our employers there. The Glenwood Development Corporation and Foundation also built a home working with West Central Minnesota Community Action this past year here in Glenwood. So there's one single family dwelling that's available for sale, and they're interested in doing more, but, you know, again, start one at a time and move forward with that process. But from the employer standpoint, I think, you know, there were more issues than just housing, but it seemed as though from what we gathered, housing was the biggest issue to address first, and now that we've got that ball rolling, it's a matter of continuing to work on the other aspects that all come into play to really help our employers. But, you know, I do know that with the stuff that's coming up, houses are still selling pretty fast here in Glenwood and Polk County. I mean, you know, I've had a number of people stop in here at the chamber office within the last, you know, 3 to 6 months. There's a lot of them that say they put their houses on the market and within a week they were sold. It's really, and I think that was something that was also identified in the study too, Ryan, if I remember correctly, is that most of the time, and it might have been the focus groups, but a lot of the times what we were hearing is that the reason they were able to find housing is because they happened to know someone or had a referral prior to it being put on the market or being made public. And because of that, I think, you know, employers have really started watching the housing market a little bit more closely too, and when they know something that becomes available, if they have a prospective employee that, you know, they want to get into the area or knows that they want to come to the area and they want to keep, you know, they're very quick to pass that information on and try to help them with that.
And you both mentioned as well the idea that you couldn't just go and build until you knew what you needed, as well as the concept of kind of incentivizing building for the construction builders in the area. As these developments have come about, or there is more interest in building more housing, are you seeing changes even in just how builders are thinking about this? Are they looking at it as a way that they can be profitable, or is it still a focus for them on those beautiful executive level homes? I liked that phrase, Ryan.
I think one of the things that we've seen is that, and I know Ryan identified this earlier too from the study, is that we don't have a lot of, we've got a lot of, you know, contractors and stuff in the area that build homes, but they were focusing a little bit more on some of the larger type homes outside of the area and that kind of stuff, bigger projects. There's a lot of bigger projects coming into play with our contractors, you know, whether it be business expansion or housing in general. Some of the ones that have come in now, like this complex here in Glenwood is going up, Forest Ridge Apartments, you know, that's D.W. Jones is the one that is working with that complex. They've done a number of housing complexes outside of our community. This is just the first one that they've done in Polk County. But, you know, they've got, you know, many housing units across the state. And because of that, I think what we're doing is we're drawing some attention to some of the larger developers from outside of the area while still being able to work with our local contractors on making sure that they're staying employed and that kind of stuff. It's also another one of those things similar to what some of our businesses were telling us, is that, you know, there's a demand that's here for it and there's kind of a shortage of workers, but at the same point in time, you know, where do you start? I mean, as far as, you know, is it the housing issue? Is it, you know, the services and business issue? Is it, you know, the cost of living? There's a number of different things there, and we just try to tackle the issues one at a time. And I do think that there has been some momentum. In fact, there's been some great partnerships built with regards to our government agencies too. City and county partnerships, working with our local HRAs and EDAs, and, you know, not only Glenwood, but the surrounding communities. You know, there still is that sense of everybody pulling together to try to find ways so that everybody works together to get the job done. They work together in the planning, and then they all benefit in the outcomes also.
What are some pieces of advice or insights that you might be able to offer other communities that are trying to figure out how to tackle this issue of housing within their own community? What is something that you've learned or found valuable that you could share with them?
You know, the number one thing I would say is, it's been my experience working with a large mix of communities that so often the conversation only exists amongst the people that end up in the room. And I would say that's just not good enough. I think what this project points to is, as opposed to guessing what you think other people think, you ought to just ask them what they think. And in this instance, that's what we did, as opposed to saying, well, we think this is a large issue, and we think this is, you know, keeping some, that our employees do want to move here, and our employees want X, Y, and Z. Instead, let's just ask the employees. And I think that's what's most important. And I think that cuts across a lot of our economic development issues. Too often, it might be the same 6-8 people guessing what other parts of the community think. Let's just go ask them. And this is just an example of that, and I think it's had some benefit.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think from one of the things that I was very pleased about with the entire process is the collaboration that we had with different communities coming together to say, you know what, we're all one county. We have people who live here, work there, or live here, different things like that. But, you know, I've been very pleased in the overall process that we've undertaken, and, you know, bringing those groups together to say, what are the issues that you think are out there, whether it's nonprofit organizations, businesses, government leaders. It's a combination of anyone who, you know, wants to be involved. We'd love to take you and have you be part of the discussion and stuff that go on. Going through and gathering the research, doing some strategic planning, and knowing that we can't solve all the problems at one time, but one at a time we can address them and find the overlap, and then when we have areas that are overlapping, they might be able to provide a little bit of a benefit to another area. It might be intended or unintended, but you know, a lot of that overlap will help provide benefits and stuff there too. Like Ryan said, one of the biggest important things is engaging the overall community. You do need to have, in my opinion, a pretty good mixture of the different types of personalities, mindsets, and, you know, what people take in as far as, you know, what is their standard of living. You know, are you whether it's a stay-at-home mom, a daycare provider, you know, whether it's a CEO of a large company, you know, no matter what it is, a school bus driver, you know, we need to have different outlooks on what is important in their life, what do they contribute to the community, and what are they looking for out of the community. And then last but not least, you know, the one thing that frustrates me when it happens, and I've tried really hard to overcome that as much as we can, is, you know, the lack of taking action. Once you actually have all that done, you've identified the problem, you've found some solutions, and you start to do things, then you just really need to step up and get some groups going at it and hand it off and say, okay, here you go. Here's the information you need to get things going. Now, how do we take action and actually seeing things get done? Because you can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it all you want, but until people start seeing things actually happening and taking place, it doesn't become a reality, and you don't want it to get to a point that people just think, oh, yeah, they're talking about that again, but nothing ever changes. You know, change is good sometimes when it's finding productive ways to address issues and working together on that, so.
Have you noticed any changes in the energy within your community since they're seeing some action like you talked about?
Yeah, and that actually, you know, when you look at it, there's good and bad. And it's good to see both sides of the coin also. You know, there's a lot of people that are excited to see things happen, and there's other people that aren't so excited because they would have rather seen a different approach taken. Or it might compete with an idea that they had, or, you know, different things like that. And those are all things that, you know, come into play too. But there's definitely been a lot of discussion and a lot of reaction to the actions and stuff that are being taken. And like I said, those are always really good ways to utilize the resources that are out there too. And I will say that Ryan and the Center for Small Towns is a great resource to have in our area, and we're glad that they were able to step up and help us when we were looking to get these things going. So thank you too, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you both so much for giving me some time out of your day and joining us to discuss this important topic.
Thank you.
Thanks.
To learn more about Glenwood and Pope County, visit www.glenwoodlakesarea.org. You can learn more about University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality by visiting us at extension.umn.edu/community. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and stay up to date on new research and resources for communities and those who lead them. Thank you for joining us for this episode. We hope that you will join us again in the future for another episode of Vital Connections On Air.